What is up, ladies and gentlemen? For those who do not know, my name is Mike Cicchini. I am the editor-in-chief of DennyGeek.com, and welcome to a live, special, completely off-the-cuff, unscripted, and I'll be honest, a little bit shaky edition of DC Stand-Up. Hasn't been a DC Stand-Up episode in a while, but I promise there's going to be a lot more in the coming weeks, because you still have not heard my amazing interview, and it's not amazing because of me, it's amazing because of the interview subject, but I still have a great interview with Philip Kennedy Johnson, the writer of Action Comics, coming up in a couple of weeks. I have a great interview with Joshua Williamson, the writer of the brand new Superman series, coming out in a couple of weeks. But tonight, we are here not to talk about comics. Well, that's not true. Since I'm doing this live, any of you who want to come and talk about comics with me, you know I'm always down. No, tonight we are talking about movies and we are talking about TV. Because 2 days ago on the Warner Brothers lot, there was a special press conference event with James Gunn and Peter Safran, the co-chairs of DC Studios, where they revealed what they called the first part of the first chapter of their DC Universe plan. Now, stop calling it the DCEU. It turns out that was never really a thing anyway. From now on, they are only referring to this as the DC Universe. The DCU is what was flashed on the screen before the presentation began. And the first chapter of DC Studios' DCU plan is called Gods and Monsters, which is pretty cool when you think about it. So, you know, they gave everybody a little bit of preamble about, you know, the difficult journey that DC movies have had over the last, you know, it's almost a decade now. Don't forget, this summer is the 10th anniversary of Man of Steel, you know, and that was really supposed to be the movie that got things going. And, you know, for some folks it did. And hey, like, I like Man of Steel. Like, you know, anybody who reads Den Geek, anybody who's listened to DC Stand-Up or seen me talk about this stuff anywhere, you'll know that I like Man of Steel. I don't think it's a perfect movie. Even though I'm not the biggest Zack Snyder fan in the world, I thought Man of Steel was like a masterful example of world building. You know what I mean? And Henry Cavill was great. And the whole cast was great. But I understand it's not a great movie, and I was certainly less fond of the sequel. You know, we all know the Justice League mess. But over time, these DC movies, they got it together. The Wonder Woman movies are great. Yes, even Wonder Woman 1984. I find the first Shazam to just be an absolute delight. I think it's one of the best things that, you know, DC can do. And of course, James Gunn came in and did his take on the Suicide Squad, which wasn't as big of a commercial success as everybody would have wanted, but we can blame COVID for that, right, folks? So, you know, but they did nod to what a difficult time it had been and the fact that, you know, creative difficulties aside, they acknowledged the fact that a lot of it was just because there was no unified vision for that studio, you know? I mean, look, say what you will about Marvel Studios, but there's a level of quality control there and there's a unified vision there that you just cannot get anywhere else, you know? So I'd like to think now that under Gunn and Safran, we're going to see a little bit more of that, but they do seem very keen on continuing that Warner Brothers and DC tradition of letting directors and writers, they were very big on writers in this press conference, folks, letting directors and writers really have their say and really put forth their own vision. So while all of these movies may be part of the same universe and they're telling one grand singular story, they do still want to let these directors kind of have their, you know, like put their directorial stamp on things, which hasn't always been the case with Marvel. So, and we're going to talk about a very specific director involved with these new DC movies as we get through this slate. So I'm going to start going here. I'm going to say that James Gunn is hilarious. But I've long said that Peter Safran is kind of the secret weapon of that creative partnership. Like, we all know that Gunn is the creative visionary, but Safran, don't forget, you know, produced Aquaman, produced Shazam, two of the better DC movies, and also is a producer on the Conjuring franchise, which outside of Marvel might just be the most successful and long-running shared universe out there. So it was the both of them giving this presentation. You can kind of see even in this presentation how they kind of like complement each other's strengths, you know? Like Gunn is obviously very, very outgoing and very outwardly creative. And Peter Safran seemed a little bit more reserved, but it was funny. Like, you know, they were kind of completing each other's sentences at times. You know, they were able to riff off of each other. It's a cool creative partnership, and I feel like they are bringing something different to the table at DC than, you know, than what's happening at Marvel, for example. So we are still in a little bit of a weird in-between period with DC TV and movies. You know, for starters, there's still a whole bunch of shows that need to kind of clear the decks and movies before this new DCU vision properly starts. So let's start with what is coming right now and this year, and then we'll get deeper into James Gunn and Peter Safran's plans. So obviously next week, February 8th, is the season premiere of the final season of The Flash. Look, folks, these Arrowverse shows have been amazing. Arguably my favorite live-action superhero universe ever. And yes, I'm including Marvel in that. These shows have meant a lot to me, even though Flash in particular has had its ups and downs over the last couple years. But The Flash running for 9 seasons is a tremendous accomplishment. It's a 13 episode season. Pretty much everybody who's ever been on the show in a serious capacity is going to come back for a curtain call, including Stephen Amell, whose Oliver Queen, of course, died in Crisis on Infinite Earths. You know, but we'll see where this all shakes out. The day after that, on February 9th, we get Harley Quinn, a very problematic Valentine's Day special, which looks hilarious. And if you're not watching Harley Quinn, folks, I don't know what to tell you. This show is unbelievably funny. Just unbelievably funny. And unlike some other adult animated shows based on, you know, beloved properties. I'm looking at you, Velma. Harley Quinn, for as brutally as it skewers the DC universe, pretty much in every scene, you could tell it's really done from a place of love. And I really, really appreciate that. And it's really funny and it's got a ton of heart. And I'm sure this Valentine's Day special is going to be absolutely disgusting. So that is February 9th. March 14th, we have Superman and Lois Season 3. Superman and Lois has just been unbelievably good. This is, for my money, the best live-action Superman since Christopher Reeve. Bitsy Tulloch is perhaps the greatest live-action Lois Lane of all time. There has been no official word on whether or not Superman and Lois is going to continue beyond a third season. But my gut feeling, as much as I hate to say it, is don't get too attached, folks. I think Superman and Lois is a goner after season 3. That same night, March 14th, we get Gotham Knights, which I don't know if you've seen the trailer for Gotham Knights. Has not been well received. But it's an interesting concept. You know, you have characters like Harper Row and Stephanie Brown and one of my favorite Robins ever in Carrie Kelly all getting the live action treatment in this weird future Gotham City where Bruce Wayne is dead or murdered or I don't know. You know, you have Castiel from Supernatural is playing Harvey Dent. I don't know how that works, but hey, whatever. Like, but Gotham Knights, it feels like a show from another era. It feels like a show from like the Smallville days or the pre-Smallville days where, you know, these shows were kind of a little bit ashamed of what they actually were. And they're like, yeah, we're not going to tell you, we're not going to show you who the, you know, the hero, and we're not ever going to say the hero's name. You know, don't forget, Smallville, before it was Smallville, began life as a young Bruce Wayne pilot, which was never filmed, but was written. And it's actually an interesting read. You can find it. It's out there on the internet. So Gotham Knights kind of feels like that. And I don't know how long this one's going to last. March 17th is Shazam, Fury of the Gods. This looks fantastic. Now, this is where things get interesting, because now we're really getting into the territory of where James Gunn and Peter Safran are playing. Peter Safran is a producer on the Shazam films. Fury of the Gods, the trailers are great. The first movie was great. David F. Sandberg, the director, is back. I have no reason to believe that this movie will be anything other than just a terrific delight, despite the fact that Zachary Levi has been getting a little weird on social media with some weird anti-vax stuff, folks. But this is where things get interesting, because here is a franchise that was well-received critically. You know, it was done on a modest budget by superhero standards. Fans loved it. Yeah, I thought it was a really intelligent use of, you know, of the shared universe format to do something a little bit different. If Fury of the Gods is a hit, you know, I don't know. Like, why would you, you know, why would you ditch this cast? And throughout that presentation on Monday, Gunn and Safran were very diplomatic about whether people were going to stay or go, or what the state of continuity in the DC universe is. But if I had to guess, I think everybody's gone and we're going to be saying goodbye to Zachary Levi after this movie, which is too bad. And again, do not take this as gospel. I have no insider information. I'm just kind of reading between the lines. But you know, go see it. Like, we cannot make our decisions about what to watch and what to enjoy based on whether or not it like counts in terms of like some wider shared universe story. Like, you just can't consume media like that. Trust me, take it from somebody who has been reading DC comics since he could read. If I stopped enjoying every DC comic story as soon as it was invalidated in terms of continuity by the latest reboot, my comic book collection would be very, very small. So whatever, you know, let's hope for the best here. Now The Flash is out June 23rd, 2023. This is an interesting one, because they did say at this meeting, and I quote, that it, quote, resets everything. So there is a continuity factor with The Flash. I don't know what that means. You know, I really don't. I have no idea how they're going to handle this, and I have no idea how audiences are going to respond to it. And I have no idea how Ezra Miller's legal troubles are going to factor into everything. I will say, I have spoken to multiple people who have seen this movie in various forms. And despite my own reservations about it, because you know what? I'm tired of multiverse stories. I don't want some, you know, convoluted continuity reset. I never liked Ezra Miller as Barry Allen, even before they started having their legal troubles. It was just never a casting that I warmed to. But I have spoken to multiple people who have seen The Flash, and they all say this movie is fantastic. James Gunn said, I think he said it's one of the best fucking superhero movies ever made. And I've had other people kind of tell me things along those lines, that it's like stand up and cheer, and it's really colorful, and that, you know, it's kind of like the DC movie we've been waiting for a long time. So who knows? We're not getting a trailer for this until a week from Sunday at the Super Bowl. We'll see how much Michael Keaton Batman they show in there. We'll see if this gives any hints of like what the continuity shenanigans are going to be like. We'll see. I have no idea what to expect, folks. August 18th, 2023, the Blue Beetle movie, which I'm hyped for. I love this character. And the fact that they did a practical costume that looks like this, that's just like the coolest thing in the world to me. I don't know what to tell you. What they did say, what Gunn and Safran did say as far as addressing this, is they said that this movie has no ties whatsoever to any existing DC movies. So it could potentially carry forward into their new DCU plan. We'll see. I don't know. Aquaman 2, Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom, is out December 25th. Merry Christmas from Atlantis. Of course, there is all this confusion right now about what is going on with Jason Momoa. He seems to have a place in the new DCU under Gunn and Safran, but it may not be as Aquaman. Something that they said in the room was, they said, you know, Jason has always kind of envisioned Aquaman as a trilogy. You know, whether he gets to complete that trilogy or not, they would not say. Of course, there's all this speculation that he's going to play Lobo, which of course he would be perfect casting for. But in any case, Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom is, that's it, folks. That's the end of the DCEU as we know it. Whether or not any of these other actors end up returning in, you know, either in their existing roles or in other ones down the road remains to be seen, and they would not confirm or deny anything during that press conference. Joker 2 is October 4th, 2024. Now, here's why I'm going to bring up Joker 2. Aside from the fact that it has Lady Gaga as Harley Quinn, which is just genius casting, if you ask me, but there is... this is where Gunn and Safran did start clarifying things a little bit. So this is now part of kind of like a sub imprint of DC Studios that they're going to call DC Elseworlds. So I think Joker and now this movie, and, you know, there's other stuff that's been in development for a long time. Like, you know, there's that Ta-Nehisi Coates, Superman movie, which I am dying to know more about, but they said these movies will fall outside of the general DCU. They will be called DC Elseworlds, which is, of course, a label from the comics. That's where we got stuff like Gotham by Gaslight. I mean, will this help audiences be less confused by, you know, why there's multiple Jokers running around? I don't know. But, you know, in any case, like, I'm glad they're trying to do this. They did say there won't be a ton of Elseworlds projects. Basically, the bar for an Elseworlds project will have to be a little higher, you know, is what they said, because they don't want to clog the market with a lot of things that are not, you know, telling their core story. Makes sense to me. I hope it makes sense to audiences. At some point in 2024, we're going to get that Colin Farrell Penguin series, which is a spinoff of the Batman. The Batman, not part of the new DCU. It will continue to be its own thing. It is not clear whether this is going to get the Elseworlds branding or if they're just calling this, like, you know, kind of Matt Reeves' crime saga Batman universe. But they're letting Matt Reeves just kind of have his own playground in Gotham City for a little while, free of the confines of larger shared universe concerns than probably anybody with superpowers. But Colin Farrell was just unbelievable as the Penguin. And what a year he had between the Penguin and Banshees of Inisherin and After Yang. Like, this guy just had the best year of his career. And I can't believe we have an actor of his character playing Oswald frickin' Cobblepot. But now this is where things start getting interesting with the new projects. The first of the Gunn and Safran DCU projects is an HBO Max animated series called Creature Commandos. And folks, this one is obscure even for me. I've read probably two Creature Commandos stories in my entire life. You know, the main one of the main characters is Eric Frankenstein, who was the lead in an awesome Grant Morrison Seven Soldiers of Victory limited series called Frankenstein, Agent of Shade, The setup for Creature Commandos is that Amanda Waller has put together yet another Black Ops team, but it's with, you know, like the undead and monsters and stuff like that. And Gunn has said that animation is going to play a big role in the DCU going forward. Any of their animated projects will help feed into and tell the larger story of the DCU. And he even said that when they cast people to voice these characters, they want them to be the kinds of actors who could also play those characters in live action if that becomes necessary. So Creature Commandos, 7 episodes, HBO Max. James Gunn has already written all 7 scripts, which is kind of cool. Viola Davis will voice Amanda Waller. This is where things are getting a little weird, but we'll talk about that in a second. The team is Rick Flagg Sr., because we all know Rick Flagg Jr. didn't make it out of Gunn's Suicide Squad. Nina Mazursky, who is another kind of like Gill Lady character from a Frankenstein Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. comic. Dr. Phosphorus, who's a Batman villain. Eric Frankenstein, who I love. Bride of Frankenstein, who is apparently the lead of this series. G.I. Robot, who's a cool Silver Age character. And Weasel, you remember Weasel from Suicide Squad. This will lead into another HBO Max live-action TV series called Waller, again, with Viola Davis as Amanda Waller. It is set between Peacemaker Seasons 1 and 2. Gunn joked because he didn't have time to make Peacemaker Season 2 right now. But there will be other members of the Peacemaker team on this show. Crystal Henry, who wrote on Watchmen, and Jeremy Carver of Doom Patrol fame are writing this one. So, again, this is where things get a little murky, right? Because, obviously, there's characters here who had their roots in the existing DC universe who seem to be getting carried forward, and they were still playing a little coy about that stuff because they also said that when Superman Legacy comes out, that's right, that's the title of the new Superman movie, when Superman Legacy comes out on July 11th, 2025, well, they said anything can be changed from that point. So even though Creature Commandos and Waller are part of this DCU plan, I don't know, folks. It sounds like Superman Legacy is the real starting point, and they're still being pretty vague about this. Gunn is writing Superman Legacy, and I'm very hyped for this. He described Superman as this movie as the true foundation of our creative vision for the DC universe. See what I'm saying about how vague they're being? It won't star Henry Cavill, and the story is about Superman balancing his Kryptonian heritage with his human upbringing. Okay. Gunn is most of the way through writing the script. Peter Safran said he wants Gunn to direct it. Gunn is kind of like being like, I don't know if I have time to direct it. We will see. But I'm just really into what they're talking about from a vibe standpoint with this Superman movie. Gunn has admitted that it is influenced by All-Star Superman, Grant Morrison and Frank Quitely's absolute masterpiece. I got to say, folks, you know, for years, like, it felt like every DC project was, like, just defined by people who had read, like, Dark Knight Returns and Watchmen. All-Star Superman is every bit as good as Dark Knight Returns and Watchmen. It's just the vibe is completely different. If you have not read this book, you got to get on that. It is a modern masterpiece of comics. It is just an absolute dream. So that is out July 11th, 2025. That will be followed on October 3rd, 2025 with The Batman Part 2. No details on this one. And again, this is not part of the DCU plan, but this is Very important to the studio. I mean, look, they know they have something special in these Matt Reeves movies. I love that it is called The Batman Part 2. Denegeek managing editor John Saavedra pointed out that after all the Godfather vibes in the first Batman movie, they're just leaning right into the Godfather Part 2 vibes with the title of this. I love it. But it is the next official DCU project after Superman Legacy that I am extremely excited about. It is called Lanterns. And this is finally the details we've been waiting for on the HBO Max Green Lantern TV series, which Gunn and Safran said has True Detective vibes. It's about Jon Stewart and Hal Jordan. They are space cops, because that's what the Green Lantern Corps is, right? But Earth is their precinct, and they uncover some kind of, quote, ancient horror on Earth. And whatever this mystery is, it's going to inform the rest of the story of the DCU going forward. Really excited for this one. It's about time that somebody finally got Green Lantern right in live action. Sorry, Ryan Reynolds. I will say I'm a little bit bummed that the plans for the previous Green Lantern series appeared to have been scrapped. I know more than I am allowed to say about what that show was about, but it sounded really cool. But this sounds really cool too. Lanterns will be on HBO Max, I don't know, in 2025 or later. Sorry. If you're watching this live, you're gonna have to deal with me drinking water. The Authority is the next big DC movie, and I can't believe they're making it. Then again, of course I can. Of course James Gunn would be into something as edgy and weird as The Authority. And if you haven't read The Authority, I mean, look, unfortunately, it's by Warren Ellis. And then we all know what that's about. But, and it is kind of a relic of a very particular early 2000s sensibility, you know, with the war on terror, you know, and immensely powerful organizations kind of taking matters into their own hands. I'm curious to see how this kind of gets updated for the current political moment. I also don't see how they can make this movie and not make it a hard R the way Suicide Squad was. But Gunn had a very interesting way of describing The Authority. And I'm just going to quote directly from him here. He said, "The Authority is a very different kind of superhero story. They're basically good intentioned, but they think that the world is completely broken, so the only way to fix it is to take things into their own hands, whether that means killing people, destroying heads of state, changing governments, whatever they want to do to make the world better. We'll see how that journey goes for them." Sound like the early 2000s to you folks or what? But I'm kind of excited for this, even though, like, I don't know how well that whole style has aged, but I've been meaning to do an Authority reread, and now's as good as an excuse as any. After that is another HBO Max series called Paradise Lost. It is basically a Wonder Woman prequel, even though we don't know what is going on with Gal Gadot and the Wonder Woman franchise. But it sounds like Game of Thrones on Themyscira. It's the origin of the Amazons. That seems like a pretty easy pitch to me. I'd love to see it. I hope they kind of go for an R rating on this as well. They weren't talking about that, but we'll see. After that, we have another big movie. The DC Universe will finally get its Batman. No, it will not be Ben Affleck. No, it will not be Robert Pattinson. The movie is not even called Batman. It's called The Brave and the Bold. I love it. I love it. That's so cool. So this one is going to tell the story of kind of like an experienced, established Batman, which I thought Ben Affleck was great at, by the way, because they need the whole Bat family to tell this story. So they've said there will be an extended Bat family. They haven't said who yet. Well, there's one name. I'll give you that name in a second. But I got to figure we'll get Nightwing. At the very least, we're going to have Nightwing and Batgirl in this movie, probably. And who knows who else. But the real hook of this is that they are finally introducing Damian Wayne as Robin. Gunn had a really, really, really funny quote about that. You know, you can imagine that Robin, who, you know, spent the first 10 years of his life being raised by assassins to be a little killer, would be one of Gunn's favorites. He said he was raised as a little murderer and assassin. He's a little son of a bitch. He's my favorite Robin. This is another one that is based on a Grant Morrison story. Folks, if you have not read that Grant Morrison Batman run, I mean, like, I don't know what to tell you. It is the ultimate Batman story. You know, my own feelings on Damian are a little bit mixed. I don't think anybody other than Grant Morrison ever should have gotten to write Damian, but hey, that's just me. Booster Gold is the next HBO Max show. Gunn called this one. It's a show about a superhero's imposter syndrome. I mean, look, I have my own imposter syndrome to deal with. I gotta watch a superhero have it. But Booster Gold, quote, uses basic technology from the future to pretend to be a superhero in the present day. I'm pretty sure, if I'm remembering this correctly, Peter Safran said that he's a loser from the future who uses basic technology from the future to pretend to be a superhero in the present day. Apparently, they're already talking to an actor about the title role. Who could this be? Could it be Chris Pratt as Booster Gold? Could it be Andy Samberg as Booster Gold? These are just names I'm pulling out of a hat. I'm still a little bitter that we didn't get more Booster Gold on my beloved Legends of Tomorrow, but, you know, don't cry because it's over, smile because it happened, right? Anyway, 2027 will bring us Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow on the big screen. This is based on an amazing comic by Tom King and Bill Kosovsky. This movie is probably going to be set in space. I can very much imagine like that brightly colored James Gunn sensibility. At least visually, I can't imagine Gunn will direct this. But I can imagine that transferring very well to this story. It has Crypto in it. Like, I can't wait to see Crypto in live action again. Gunn made a very interesting comment about this. He said that this movie will feature, quote, a harsher and more fucked up Supergirl than we're used to seeing, end quote. And I'll tell you why that is correct. Because, you know, Superman was a baby when Krypton exploded. He doesn't remember it, okay? Kara was there when Krypton exploded. She was a teenager. And then a chunk of Krypton, you know, drifted away from it with her family and like a whole city's worth of Krypton. And then everybody on that got kryptonite poisoning and died. And so she watched everybody she loved like die around her before she escaped to Earth. So like, and this is not like some modern edgelord stuff, people. This is like the original Supergirl origin from the 1950s, which like when you read that Supergirl origin story, like, you know, it's told in that very like Silver Age DC style. And then you look at it in this context and you go, actually, that's really horrifying. So it'll be interesting to see how they explore that. And then the final movie for now, because they did say this was not the full first chapter, is Swamp Thing, which I'm hyped about. The film will, quote, explore the dark origins of Swamp Thing. That's all they said. They didn't tell us anything else. But then just this afternoon, news broke that it looks like Logan director James Mangold is lined up to direct Swamp Thing. So this is the kind of talent that they're looking to attract to these movies, folks. Like the director of one of the greatest superhero movies of all time is going to direct a Swamp Thing movie. Sign me up. Sign me up right now. This movie isn't coming out until at least 2027. Like, and I will pre-order my ticket for this today. So, yeah, it's pretty cool, but that's it. That is the entire new DC slate. I will be back to talk more about this stuff. Upcoming episodes of DC Stand-Up will return. I got interviews coming with Philip Kennedy Johnson and Joshua Williamson. Whole lot of great Superman stuff to talk about. You know, for years, It's all been Batman, Batman, Batman. Superman fans are feasting right now, folks. I got some stuff planned for Superman and Lois. Got some animated stuff being planned. And, yeah. Make sure you are watching, listening, following, subscribing. If you're listening to this podcast version, you could have watched it live on Twitch or YouTube. And if you are, you know, if you came in late on YouTube or Facebook or Twitch today, well, you'll be able to watch this on demand. You'll be able to watch it on DennyGeek.com. Go to DennyGeek.com/DC for all our DC coverage, which is going to be a lot of in the next couple of years from the looks of things. And yeah, tomorrow I will be back on Twitch for the season premiere and triumphant return of Marvel Standin. So come hang out, folks. It's going to be a fun year at Den of Geek and the Den of Geek Network. Thank you all for watching. My name is Mike Cicchini, and I'll talk to you all soon.